You're listening to 89.9 KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. It's time for film reviews. And this week, we have a couple of international features. We have a student-teacher semi-erotic thriller and a raucous political satire. With me to discuss are Christy Lemire and Alonzo Duralde. They both co-host the YouTube channel Breakfast All Day. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to eat breakfast all day.
Right.
As a matter of fact.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. Waffles, please. Okay, first up, Miller's Girl. This stars Martin Freeman as a teacher and Jenna Ortega as his gifted student.
I want you to write a short story in the style of your favorite author.
Are you having any special dream, Mr. Miller?
Well,
John here is prepping her to be his transcendent.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's talented.
Damn, even worse.
What are you bragging about?
I'm uninspired.
I've had no achievement. Make him love you.
All right, Christy, Jenna Ortega's character lives in a small Tennessee town. Her parents are pretty much absent, and her literature teacher is a failed novelist who is having some problems with his marriage. And, welp, they begin to pay special attention to each other. So, tell us more.
Didn't we learn anything from Nabokov? I mean, everyone's got this like literary
seriously
background here. No one ever says that word, and it's so obvious as to what's going on here. It's such a cliche. So Jenna Ortega is this wise beyond her years, brilliant, tragic Southern Gothic 18-year-old named Cairo Sweet. But because we are in Tennessee, everyone calls her Cairo. Cairo. And so she's brilliant, and she's a senior in high school, and she takes this creative writing class from Martin Freeman's character. He is the titular Miller. He is one of the two Millers who are important here.
Henry Miller being the other.
Exactly. And so there is a flirtation, and they see something in each other, and it's wrong, and they both know it, and it's where it goes from there. This has some things going for it. You know, the language is heightened in a way that I think a lot of other high school movies have done it better, particularly Heathers and Thoroughbreds, you know, like wealthy, beautiful people who are, you know, speaking in a way more articulate way than anybody possibly could at this age. And that can be a little exciting at first, but it becomes just kind of pummeling and incessant. And as likable as Jenna Ortega is here, and in general, she's kind of doing a Wednesday Addams thing where she's like mean and spiky and very self-aware, but also kind of beguiling at the same time. I really like Dagmara Domancic as Martin Freeman's wife, who is kind of a cliche, like blousy, drunk, Southern, you know, voluptuous, just kind of drunk all day and emasculating, but she brings something kind of alluring to that. And I liked Bashir Salahuddin as a fellow teacher at the school. But it all feels really inevitable. It all feels kind of pointless and like an empty exercise.
Right. And we have, as you said, we have seen this plot many, many times. Alonzo, what did you think?
Yeah, I think Chrissy's being kind here. Heightened is barely to touch upon the insane amount of like overripe cliches and ludicrous, this is how writers talk dialogue. There's almost no conversation in this movie that sounds like it would be transpiring between two human beings. And that is not the fault of the cast, who are all like committed to the bit and giving it their all. I also liked Bashir Salahuddin. I'm a huge fan of Dagmara Domancic, but she is saddled with a character who is ludicrously like inconsistent from scene to scene, and ultimately just this sort of collection of nagging wife cliches. I laughed out loud several times in this movie at times that I was not supposed to. It's kind of an embarrassment for all involved.
Ooh, wow. And this is writer-director Jade Bartlett's debut. And
It can only go up from here.
I guess so. Silver lining. All right, Miller's Girl in theaters and wide release beginning today. Next up, we have a film called Totem. This is about a 7-year-old girl who's at her grandfather's house for the day waiting for her dad's birthday party to begin.
El sol que brilla. Y aunque sea un sol de mediodía, no teme a la decadencia.
Okay, so guy's making a toast there. He's saying there is a sun that shines and though it may be the midday sun, it does not fear its decline. Alonso, this was Mexico's Oscars submission for Best International Film. It did not make the final list, but there have been some good reviews of this. What did you think?
Yeah, so this is from writer-director Lila Aviles. She previously did the acclaimed film The Chambermaid, and this one also has a very strong sort of sense of place and mood and rhythm. As you say, Sol is a young girl. The whole movie pretty much it takes place on one day. There's a party that is being thrown for her father, who is terminally ill, is battling a cancer diagnosis. We see a lot of aunts and uncles and grandfather in and out of this house, which is a big, beautiful house that has clearly seen better days. And as the day proceeds, we come to understand that the family is maybe not as financially secure as it once was, although they still sort of live like they are. It brings to mind the early films of a director like Lucrecia Martel, a movie like La Cienaga, where you've got people just all in this house interacting with each other and on top of each other, and other dramas unfold along the way. And it's also sort of like if in the movie Roma, if the whole thing were the that holiday party sequence. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she's very canny. Aviles is very sharp at giving us character detail and backstory and all these things without ever making it obvious that that's what she's doing. But in the course of the action of this film and through the eyes of this child, we get to know this family and understand, you know, what's great about them, what's terrible about them, and sort of what lies ahead for them in their future.
So you loved it, liked it.
I find it very, yeah, it definitely, it draws you in. I think it's a film where that I think that sometimes it makes its points more than once. But nonetheless, I because you are given sort of scant clues along the way that you have to be paying attention to, it is a movie that commands your attention.
All right, Christy, what did you think?
I liked it and didn't love it, too. I really liked the sense of place, because you do feel like you are immersed in the rhythms of this house and this family. Alonso, I was thinking about you while I was watching it, because it is this big family, you know, this big boisterous family and you know, all coming in and out, and there's a lot of love and cooking, and I just thought maybe that you might have responded to that. But it's a lovely film, and it could have been really mawkish given what it is happening at this party, given what this party is about. And I thought that being through the eyes of this little girl who's played by Naima Sentias, sort of helps to soften that a bit, you know, so it's not heavy-handed and it's not, you know, emotionally walloping at all. And so, yeah, you do sort of feel a gradual sense of melancholy as the day is going on. Like there's bustling and there's preparations and sort of an undercurrent of tension the whole time, because we know something is off here. This isn't a totally celebratory occasion. But then, you know, when the actual party happens, there's a sense of catharsis and a sense of real great emotional release. So I did like it quite a bit.
Okay. Totem in select theaters tomorrow. It opens in Los Angeles on February 2nd. Next up, we have The Breaking Ice, written and directed by Anthony Chen. This follows three melancholy 20-somethings whose paths cross in a Chinese city on the border of North Korea. Okay, the dialogue there between two young men and a young woman. One of them asks her to have dinner. The other tells her he doesn't want to be alone, and she tells him to come over. Alonso, this gave me a little bit of a Jules and Jim vibe.
Yeah, no, it's hard not to think about Jules and Jim when you're looking at a love triangle that is, you know, a resolutely heterosexual one. But yes, you have a woman, Nana, played by Dong Yuzhu, who works as a tour guide in a fairly remote area of China that's near the border with North Korea. And she has a sort of on-again, off-again relationship with a local restaurateur who is played by Xu Xiaoqiu, And a visiting finance worker from Shanghai who's there for a wedding and is clearly deeply depressed, played by Haoran Liu, goes on her tour and then winds up sort of hanging out with the two of them. And we see a definite kind of emotional interplay work itself out where both men are clearly interested in her. And they've all got burdens of the past to deal with. A restaurateur never left the town. She was once a promising athlete who walked away from it. The guy from Shanghai clearly thought that working hard and succeeding in school and moving away from, you know, his small town was going to bring him fulfillment and happiness. And so none of them are at a place right now where they really like their lives. But maybe by the end of their encounter, they'll move to a place where they do.
All right. Christy, what did you think?
I like this a lot. And so much of that has to do with the mood, as Alonzo says. It really puts you in this sense of kind of like melancholy, wistful isolation. Anthony Chen wrote this film during the pandemic, during like isolation in a hotel room during COVID. And I think you get that sense of feeling kind of alone and kind of introspective and kind of in flux. You know, all three of these characters they're all running from something or towards something. But for this brief moment in time, for all three of them, they become this kind of makeshift family that feels really authentic and true. The score also, I think, does a lot to create that sense of mood as far as being kind of synthy and kind of chilly. Mm-hmm. And it just sort of envelops it all in a sense of kind of mystery, but also possibility. So I liked it a lot. They accomplished quite a bit visually here and also tonally.
Okay, cool. The Breaking Ice, or Cold, is at the Lemley Royal beginning tomorrow. Finally, we have a satire called The Sweet East. It stars Talia Ryder, Jacob Elordi, and Simon Rex. Ryder's character, Lillian, is a lost high school senior from South Carolina who is gallivanting across the eastern seaboard.
I don't think she'd be scared. I think she's really braver than you think.
The election was a pre-scripted puppet show, just like every year.
I need to know what's going on down in that basement now.
What in your young life could you have encountered to inspire you?
I don't know. I never really cared about that stuff.
All right, Christy, what is going on here? There seems to be yet another Lolita moment in this movie as well.
Kinda. I kind of think this character is more like a super micro indie version of Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Oh,
because she's kind of going on this journey, and like every man she meets is trying to shape her, and she's also taking pieces of each person that she meets along the way, and that helps like inform who she's going to pretend to be in the next scenario. So it is not at all at the level of Poor Things in any way in terms of technically or the cohesion of the writing or anything. But it kind of gave me that same vibe of like, here's a young woman on a journey of discovery, trying to figure out who she is in the midst of the patriarchy. But it's ultimately kind of episodic. You know, Talia Ryder is a high school student who just kind of bails on her school's trip to Washington. They're from South Carolina, and she just kind of takes off and goes off with one person, and then she meets Simon Rex and goes off with him for a while. And that is, I think, the strongest section of them all. It's the longest and it feels the most developed, and Simon Rex is just great in it. It's a character that you think you know, and there's maybe more interesting stuff going on with him than you first expect. It drags here and there. And ultimately, I don't know what the point is. I mean, maybe it's just the journey is the destination, but I don't know that she's necessarily any different at the end than she was at the beginning. But maybe that's the point, too.
Alonzo, this was written by a film critic named Nick Pinkerton.
Yes.
So a colleague of yours, I guess.
He is a great film critic. I'm a big admirer of his writing, and he's done some Blu-ray commentaries that I think are really great. This movie is a bit of a Shaggy Dog story. It's a picaresque. So it is this sort of episodic thing where she kind of wanders from place to place and person to person. And I think the strongest aspect of it is the fact that is Talia Ryder's performance, but also the way that the script has her basically, you know, magpieing different people's experiences and incorporating them into herself as she is, you know, faking it until she makes it, although she never quite makes it. So, you know, you can sense that Pinkerton is trying to throw his arms around a lot of contemporary issues, whether it's about neo-Nazis or about sort of befuddled indie filmmakers or religious fundamentalism. And you can see the ideas there and sort of look at them and go, oh, that's the idea. But it doesn't really quite incorporate itself into the story as strongly as it might have. So, yeah, it's a bit rambling, but you have some charming bits along the way. I agree with Christy that the Simon Rex segment is probably the strongest one. Newly minted Emmy winner Io Edebiri turns up as an indie filmmaker. But yeah, it's a bit of a shambles.
A bit of a shambles. Okay. The Sweet East opens at Landmark's New Art Theater tomorrow, and it's in some other select theaters. Well, thank you both. That was not a shambles. That was a really good segment, so thank you.
We are very coherent.
You are.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Christy Lemire and Alonzo Duralde co-host the YouTube channel Breakfast All Day.